Okay, well, pray and then we'll jump right into this. Father Yah, we just bless you, first of all. We thank you for being our God, and we're glad that you're the one true God, and we are not deceived, but we walk in wisdom according to your perfect will that you have prepared for us, according to your perfect plan. And we just bless you for all the things that you do. Such an excitement about the times that we're living in. And again, we just glorify you for all things. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. There are some things I want to share with you, and then we'll look at some things in Ephesians 5. Just like to keep you, you know, kind of posted on some things that's going on, and we're, you know, things that we've been dealing with and stuff, and so, and it's excited. It's exciting to know, it's exciting to be told things by Yah, and then you see those things come to pass. It's just very exciting to see, you know, from my perspective. And I've been having encounters for a long time, as far back as I can remember. But each time he does something, it always leaves me so impressed with what he does, how he does it, and I'm just impressed with our God. And so, y'all know, as I had mentioned that the Dallas Central Appraisal District had increased the price as far as our taxes, or the value of our building, which would also increase the taxes on the property, taxes that we were not supposed to be paying, you know, because we're a nonprofit organization. But at the same time, there are rules that has been put in place to benefit from that if you have people in place. You know, so I put it this way, you know, laws are put in place to keep people from breaking them, but then at the same time, it's not put in place for the righteous per se, because, you know, the righteous, you know, want to obey, you know, laws even as far as the land is concerned. But you will have people who are perverted who will take advantage of laws that's in the land in order to benefit from it. So I had that meeting today, and we did get the taxes lowered back to the lowest point that it could be, you know, like it has been the past, you know, 2 years. And so, you know, Yah is good from that perspective. But then there are some other things that, in addressing some things, Yah was, you know, giving me some wisdom on, and some showing me some processes of things as I was communicating with them. And it will, there are some things that I'll address as far as they're concerned in the near future, and I'll keep y'all posted on it. But again, you know, Yah is just doing some, you know, some wonderful things, and the more he do those things, you know, it just impresses me more and more. Well, I often said this, or I have said this, that that mankind has never, and what I mean by never, I'm talking about in this day and time. You know, sometimes Yah will say forever or everlasting and things like that, where he's talking about in a specific period of time. It's not that he's saying, you know, it never has been or never will be. You know, when he said, you know, when he talk about us as a people because of our disobedience, these curses be on you forever. Well, we know that's not the case, but as long as we're operating in disobedience, then those curses are manifesting in our, you know, in our lives as a nation people. Well, from that same perspective, you know, there are some things that mankind has never experienced in this day and time. Mankind hasn't experienced the nation of Israel walking in line with the will of Yah. Mankind has never seen the prophets that walk in the will of Yah. They've never seen it before. And so when you look at what's going on now, you know, you have all these preachers. I remember men and women. I remember how things were before I came into the understanding that I do by the leading of the Spirit of Yah. Whereas I looked at certain people as being, you know, the highest level of preaching or preachers and different things like that. And now to be in the state of consciousness where I am now, I look at these same people and I realize they're still babes. I mean, they babes, man. And you see all these doctrines and philosophies and all these, you know, catchphrases and conferences and messages, and all of them, when you look at it, it's, you know we having a Holy Ghost fire conference, or, you know, we having a get your stuff conference. It's all these catchphrases and things like that. But mankind has never in this day and time encountered Yah's hand truly being on his people. Well, until now. And so, just to give you a case in point, Yah is so serious about this thing. I had did a writing on and put it on social media, and what I had wrote about was the rapture, and I did it in two parts. Well, part two, I wrote it and put it up, and this son of Japheth decided, you know, that he wanted to challenge me on it. And the first thing, you know, we understand is that when a person come out attacking your character, then that lets you know right there what's behind it, what's the source behind it. And it's the gauge that I always use to let me know that I'm speaking truth. And so when you look at truth, it is something vitally important for us to understand is that truth is not and never has been, never will be something that is widely accepted. And so when you teach truth, you have to also have tough skin and be able to stand on that truth when you're in a room full of people who don't even believe you. You have to still know what Yah is saying. You have to stand up on what he's saying. And, you know, I have this old cliche that I'm willing to stand for Yah if I have to stand all by myself. That's just a metaphoric term that means that I'm committed to Yah if nobody else is committed to Yah. Now, I know, you know, we're all committed to Yah. You know, at least I say that by faith and encourage you to continue to follow me as we follow Christ. But at the same time, from a personal perspective, I don't look to anyone to encourage me in my walk with Yah. We should encourage one another, but I don't need that. It's not necessary. It's not necessary for me because Yah has established himself with me. I got a report, or Yah has a report with me that cannot be broken. It cannot be broken, and so it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter, you know, how things, you know, start out or end up and different things like that. It doesn't gauge my trust in my relationship with Yah. That is established. He's done enough to prove himself to me that if he never did anything else for me again, then I am convinced, fully persuaded, that Yah is exactly who he said, you know, that he is. Well, again, mankind has never experienced that upon the people of Yah. Mankind has never experienced that. And so when the son of Japheth came at me, everything that he laid out, I would always come back. You know, Elder, we always talked about this, that, you know, our goal is not to try to convince somebody what we're saying. It's just that we let them jump out there and then we break down what they're saying. Well, that's what I did. Every time he jump out there and try to teach something, then I put up all the scripture rightly dividing the word of truth and to show him and the world that, boy, what you're talking about is private interpretation and is not being led by the Spirit. And yet at the same time, you just expect, like all other preachers, you know, that Yah's hand is not only leading in these last days. We just got accustomed as preacher. I like to say, put me in there. We just got accustomed to people accepting what we say. And no matter what we say, people just accustomed to it. So when people start saying things and put a little scripture with it, the first thing they, you know, they'll come to the conclusion, well, since I'm putting these scriptures with it, then you know, I'm not going to be disputed. But Yah points out to us that we are to reprove. We are the guardians of the kingdom. I'm saying it that way. We're the guardians of the kingdom. We're the carriers of the message of truth. We are the light. And when darkness is presenting itself, we have to rebuke it. We have to, we have to reprove it and things like that. And so correct it. And so every time this individual would lay something out, then I would correct it, precept upon precept, line upon line. Well, you know where that comes, you know where the road ends. When there's no more information that an individual like that has, then the next thing to do is to attack you, to come directly at you and start trying to say you this and you think that. And when you start seeing and hearing those things, that is the gauge to let you know truth just put a halt to the darkness, or light just put a complete stop to the darkness, and all the darkness have now is to turn around and ruin you. You cast pearls now before a swine. You know, you cast holy things before dogs. That's what the scripture said. And because they're dogs and swine, they don't want to receive it. All they do is turn around there and ruin you or attack you to destroy you. So you have to expect that when you walk in the light. You have to expect that when you're committed to teaching truth. And again, as I say, your skin has to be tough. And you have to understand that you're going to always run into, for one fast or another, adversaries. And they're going to call you false prophets. And they're going to call you all these things. And they're going to try to use the very scripture that Yah is referencing them about and try to put it on you. The guy told me, Tommy, you know, the scripture said in the last day that false prophets was going to come. That's what he said. And so he was saying, in a nutshell, you're a false prophet. The Bible talks about you. Well, when I got through with him, giving him the clear understanding of that, he kept worming his way to different things, because every time I get him in a corner, then he tried to worm his way out and give some other scripture that he felt like he understood. And I just was following him. Because when you're reproving someone, I'm like, I'm going to follow you until you die. I'm full of the word. I'll chase you until you drop dead. Because I'm hungry and I'm thirsty after righteousness, and it's flowing out of me like rivers of living water. And you can get in this running game you want to. I'm going to chase you till you die. And so that's what ended up, you know, happening. And as a result of that, he started attacking my character. And when that happens, y'all, when people start to attack your character for telling the truth, then that's the gauge to let you know that truth has prevailed. And at that particular time, there's no further reason to communicate. Once I know truth is out there and you ain't got nothing else for me to slap truth on, I'm not finna sit up here and then start talking about your mama and you talk about my mama. Because that's what it comes down to. And people are pulled into that. And I get that a lot in different forms of media or conversations and things like that, where people try to get me into a confrontation with them when it comes down to, you know, to the truth. And I don't get caught up like that. I let them know, hey, okay, you know, I'm going to step off of this here. I'm going to be a better man. And because I'm the light, and I'm going to allow you to continue to rant and call me this and call me that. I don't have to come down to your level. You either come off the mind or the conversation is done. Now, when I did that, he made another comment, because there is an attempt, because the ego has been cut. Again, I chased him till he dropped. So he made another comment after I said I had no other reason to communicate with him. But that attempt was to continue to get me to respond, because now he want word match. He don't want to talk about the scripture no more. He just want word match. I don't ever respond to stuff like that. So because I didn't respond, here this next thing now. Remember what I said. Yah, or mankind, has never experienced the children of Israel with the hand of Yah on them. As soon as I finished, Yah said to me, he said, I'm going to judge him severely. I didn't turn around and say, oh, no, Lord, don't do it. I said, so be it. Because it has to be known that, in other words, people have to get to the point to where when Samuel show up, they was like, is everything fine? You coming in peace? Because Yah was so much walking with Samuel. When Samuel came around members of our nation, fear came up on them, because they was there, oh, here come the prophet. Well, I wonder what's wrong now. He said, you coming peaceably. Yah is establishing some things in the earth to where people are going to have their mindset. They're gonna get to the point to where they are afraid to make those challenges. And he's been doing it for a long time. I started seeing it a lot when I was going back and forth to our center in Honey Grove. Every time someone would make a public statement about me, they die. All of them. When they would address certain things, matter of fact, the first time we came down, I talked to an individual, and he basically said in a nutshell, he didn't want to be a part of a scam. So I was like, okay, take one to know one. If you're identifying our project as a scam and you don't know anything about us, you know, I'm calling you based upon recommendations from the school at the time who had, you know, felt like there were certain people that would be good to be, you know, on some type of committee down there and things like that. So when I called this individual and he said that, you know, I was like, okay, fine. You know, but, you know, in order for you to look at a person as being a scam, it's because you're used to it. You're a scammer. If I'm going around all the time thinking somebody trying to do this and that to me, it's because I do this and that to somebody. You have a tendency to see things through rose-colored glasses. That's why my approach is always to look at things from a clean slate and don't come to a conclusion about things without Yah leading, you know, to understand, you know, what is the conclusion of that thing. And so there are many people there, men and women, who said things publicly. And if Brent was in this service, he would tell you, men and women that said things, and when they went public and made those things known, and people started spreading those rumors, those individuals died. Because Yah is establishing that in the earth, where he's saying, okay, I'm going to raise up prophets, and when you put your mouth on them, as darkness, then there are consequences for that. Okay. Now, I just said try to put fear in nobody, because, you know, I don't wish nothing on nobody, even all the people that some things happen to, you know, I would rather have seen it go in another direction. But when Yah say something, what can you do? Yah said he was going to judge him severely. I want to turn around and say, no, don't do that to him. Do what you want. You the boss. You understand what needs to be done. And so, you know, so you have to, you know, take these things in consideration and know that who you are, who you belong to, the understanding that you have, it puts you on a different plateau than the majority of mankind. Not just church folks, the majority of mankind, if not all of mankind. Not just at all. It puts you on, when you operate in the wisdom and understanding that, you know, from the things that you're hearing, it puts you in a seat that not everyone is sitting in. And it gives you an advantage that not everyone has. And so I'm seeing these advantages and things like that. And so, you know, so I wanted to encourage you to, you know, to continue to walk in the light and watch y'all manifest these same thing. So I'm going to start at verse 11 of Ephesians 5. And there's some things that y'all is doing, and I want to use a word in here to get you prepared for it. Ephesians 5, verse 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And again, when you look at the word reprove, look at the word reprove, it means convict, convince, tell a fault. And that's what I was doing with this son of Japheth. It wasn't that I was trying to criticize him. I was bringing him into the knowledge of the truth. And if his mindset would have been willing by the leading of the Spirit, then he could have got something out of it instead of looking for reason to try to prove me wrong. You know, my mindset is like this. When somebody is giving information, I give them the opportunity to share that information. I look at it to see if maybe there's something there that I'm not seeing. But when you look at the mindset of this individual, that's why everything that he wrote, I addressed it according to what he said. Because I was looking for an opportunity to accept some things that he was saying. And so, verse 11 said, "And have no fellowship." When you look at the word fellowship, it means communicate. Okay, be partakers of. That's why I ended the conversation, because I could see that he was trying to pull me in ungodliness. Go ahead.
Just had a comment, even from the context of reprove, right? So when it comes to disagreement, it's almost like there's two ways you have a disagreement. One is when both people are seeking the truth for the best solution, and the other is when one or both people are just trying to be right.
Right.
If a person is just trying to be right, you don't want to have an argument with that person. It's no point of doing that.
Because
a person that's trying to be right, they ain't trying to hear what you're saying.
Right.
They just trying to be right.
Right.
If a person is trying to come to a good solution or trying to come to the truth, mm-hmm. then you can talk to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some reasoning that's going on there that you're trying to come to a common understanding. So you got to be able to discern the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, in the forum that you're in, those discussions are also there to benefit other people.
Right.
Not just the person that you, right. you know, you're having a disagreement with.
Right, right. And so you know, so even from that perspective, then when you see these type of people that operate as this guy did, then as Elder pointed out, his mindset was not to get understanding. His mindset was for me to be quiet enough for him to give something else. I don't even think he read all the stuff that I said.
Right. You want to be right. You ain't caring what the other people
right.
are saying.
Right. And that's why every time I addressed him, I said, "You said," quote, letting him know I'm taking into consideration what you said, and I'm reading with the understanding of what you said. Now let me reprove you on this here. You lack understanding. And so that was my approach. And so, you know, last thing I told him, I said, I encourage you to, one of the last times, I encourage you to seek Yah for, in a nutshell, the true understanding of the scriptures instead of coming to your own private interpretations. And then when he came at me again, I just said, in a nutshell, so you ended this how you started. So he started out saying, talking about me being in error. So he started out attacking. Okay, he started out attacking. And then ended attacking, you know.
That's what opened him up to the judgment from Yah, because your heart behind it was about giving him the truth.
Right.
But his heart behind it wasn't about receiving the truth or gaining the truth. So it opened him up for judgment when he attacking you and you trying to help him.
Right.
So what can you do for a person when by the Spirit you give them everything they need to come into the knowledge of the truth, but yet they refuse?
I gave him everything.
So what can you do with
him? I mean, like everything he addressed, I gave him the true understanding of it. Everything. And, and you know how those, you know, you get some of these type of people, all they do is quote scriptures, but they have no understanding of it. They know how to quote them. I mean, he was quoting, boy. I was like, that's not what that means. This is the true meaning of this and that and so on and so forth. So, you know, that's what we have to understand and just make sure that we have wisdom in doing these things. So when it comes to these type of individuals, the scripture points out in verse 11, have no fellowship. Communicate. That's why I say, okay, you're operating in darkness. Let me end this communication. Okay? No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So I reproved him and left it alone. Okay? Then it said, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And when you look at this, here are people who operate in darkness and refuse to understand, to understand or even operate in truth. Boy, it is unimaginable the things that these type of people are willing to do behind closed doors. If you do something like that in a public setting, what would you do behind closed doors? If you attack my character where the world can see it, what do you call me behind closed doors? Verse 13 said, by all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. That's what we did. You know, that's what took place with that. For whosoever doeth make manifest is light. Show them everything. Precept upon precept, line upon line. Verse 14 said, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly. Now when you look at circumspectly, here, you know, religion think that that has to do with, you know, wearing the big hats and the clergy collars and all these different things here. But the word circumspectly is diligently. Be diligent in the walk. Okay? But it says not as fools, though. Okay? Not as fools. Unwise, but as wise, okay, as wise, clear, okay, wise. So when you're wise, there's a clear understanding. And then when you look at it, it says redeeming the time. When you look at redeeming the time, it means to buy up, ransom, rescue from loss. And so what Yah has been, you know, he's been dealing with me on and off pretty much all day. And one of the things that he's been showing me in having these meetings and then, you know, dealing with some stuff, you know, as far as, you know, continuing to line my physical body up to where he wants me to be, just a lot of things I've been, you know, just dealing with pretty much all day today. And Yah was showing me this is what he's doing. Yah is redeeming the time. So the best way to explain it is to those of us, and I like to say us, to those of us who look back in time, you know, we all do it. There's nothing wrong with it. For those of us who look back in time and say, man, I wish I had made this decision, or I wish things had happened this way, or, you know, I just hate that things went, you know, whatever you can look back upon and wish that things would have been done differently or better, or you know, have a way your mind work when you look back on certain things, Yah is letting us know that he's redeeming that time. There are things that has happened that has had the appearance like we lost time. And Yah is like, mm-mm. You don't understand. When you operate in light, then there's always an opportunity for time to be redeemed. So there is nothing in the past that Yah doesn't have the ability to correct or purchase or make it appear like it's still in that same season when you know, the same season of when we thought things had passed. You know, maybe some things we may say, man, I missed that opportunity. Yah was like, in me, you never miss the opportunity. I bring opportunities around. Just like the way I test you over and over, I bring opportunities back around again. See, we want to look at Yah from this perspective and saying, okay, if I fail a test, then Yah's going to have me to take it over again. Yah is saying, when you lose time or feel like things have failed for whatever reason or another, he said, the more you operate within that light, the more I bring things back around to you. And when you look back on it, the time is going to be brought back to the now, and you're not going to even remember the time frame that you thought you lost. I'm experiencing that right now. I'm experiencing where Yah's taking things and bringing them back around again. So, boy, you ain't lost nothing. You don't have to wish anything or wish things could have happened a certain way. You don't have to do that because I redeemed the time and put you right back in the opportunity for you to make a different choice. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Once we operate and manifest as the light, especially, you know, from the perspective of the light that was given to us or made available to us through Christ, then it now puts us in a position where there are things that we'll be so blessed to experience in this day and time that we'll forget it. I remember when my family and I, we were living again, you know, we was homeless, living in church classrooms and things like that, and you know, and things were happening and stuff. I mean, my girls, that's something that they don't remember too much. I keep them reminded of those things so that they can understand how Yah does redeem time, but it's like we've never experienced that before. Although we were homeless for, you know, 2.5-3 years, it never, Yah has been so faithful that it never appeared to have happened. And so you think about that across the board. Whatever it is that, for whatever reason or another, you feel like you lost that opportunity, or, you know, you wish you had done things differently, Yah is saying because of who we are and what he has made available to us, he's given us opportunity. I'm going to say it the way I just heard him say it. This is the season of opportunity to correct the things that was incorrect. And Yah's gonna do it in such a wonderful way that is gonna leave us dumbfounded because we thought or maybe have thought that opportunity got away. And And so Yah is he's restoring some things. We quote this scripture a lot. And so I'll pull it up. He just dropped it in. Joel chapter 2. We use it in our confession, I believe. To the left of the screen. It said, and I will restore. Look at the word restore. Shalom. To be safe. Complete. To reciprocate. Make amends. Restitution. Same thing over here. Ephesians 5, verse 16. It runs in the same vein of this. But he told our nation, he said, I restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. There are some things that happened to our nation where each levels of these things, represent something that was taken away from our nation. But Yah said to our nation, he said, I restore these things. And I restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. Yah sent them, and they did their job. But Yah said, don't worry about it. I'm redeeming the time like they never got nothing. When something is restored, then I don't look at it as something that I've lost down the road. Anytime I'm restored from something, I don't look back on it and regret that something because it's been restored. I'll give you an example. Y'all just showed a flash of this. When we became homeless, it's because we lost the first house that I purchased. We lost that first house. I don't reminisce about that house. I don't desire that house. Why? Because Yah restored a house. I remember that I lost it. It is part of the history of my life, and I use it as a testimony. But I don't have no regrets now. Because I've been restored.
You don't long for it.
There you go. I think I took you by that one time. Showed you, I think. I can't remember. I took you by that. It was one, somebody I took by that. It was like, okay, yeah. that's the house that we, I originally owned. Okay. Yeah, it was. Okay, this is the house I used to own. And I'm like, man, I'm glad I own it. I'm glad I own it now. Thank you, Yah, for the one you gave me. You said I don't what now?
You don't long for it.
I don't long for it. Yah finna do some things to make you not long for certain things anymore. Restoration. As long as we operate in the light, as long as we're willing to stand in truth, as long as we're willing to be followers of Christ, because that's what Ephesians 5, verse 1 starts out. Therefore, be ye followers of Yah as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to Yah for a sweet-smelling savior. Flavor, smell. Okay? Through Christ's obedience to the Father, he has now given us the opportunity to redeem things. We were redeemed, but understand, because we were redeemed, it gives us the opportunity to walk in that light and redeem things. Another example, I remember I had this Volvo. I really liked that Volvo, man. That was the cleanest little nice little running car, man. I took it to the Volvo shop one year because the engine light came on. I couldn't figure out how to get it off. and it's just a little button you pull after you get, you have to do it every 10,000 miles. And so the guy showed it to me, and an old lady came out there. She said, "Young man, is this your car?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "It looked like it just been taken off the showroom floor." And she said, "Don't ever get rid of that car." She said, "Because that one is the best one Volvo ever made." And I just said, "Yes, ma'am." Well, I was going down the road. We were having services at the Hampton Inn Hotel at the time. And I was going to, do something at the hotel before I was getting ready to fly out to Atlanta the next day. And a kid run a light and towed the vehicle out. Knocked me from the center lane over all the way across three other lanes. And I was up on the median. That's how hard it hit me. And the police was sitting across the street. He said, "I saw everything." He said, "Good thing you was in this car." He said, "Because it probably would have been hurt real bad." He said, "But these Volvo got this steel cage around it as a frame." And so it just knocked me equilibrium off for a while. And I staggered around for a couple of minutes. And then I felt fine after that. So I ended up, losing that vehicle. And... yeah, I was like, "Boy, I redeemed the time. Man, I don't regret losing that car because y'all has given me vehicles and then blessed me to be able to give vehicles away times over." I said all to say this, y'all is in the restoration business. Our responsibility is to walk in the light, to be an example, to stand faithful in reference to Him. No matter what, He'll redeem anytime. I don't care if it's your help. I don't care what it is. Y'all can redeem. Okay? And these things are vitally important. Elder, they just dealt with a death in the family and things like that. Y'all can even redeem the time as far as that is concerned. We know that, once our loved ones are gone, they're gone. But at the same time, y'all can redeem that time. There may be something that y'all is doing in certain areas that will position things to be ransom position things to be purchased and things like that. So always look for the opportunity, regardless of what's going on, for there to be a redemption happening. So I've learned to look for y'all in everything. My perspective on life is different. I'm always in every circumstance, and I encourage you to do the same way. Always in every circumstance to look for an opportunity for y'all to show up and to do something wonderful. Verse 26 to the left of the screen, and I'm going to close. "And ye shall eat in plenty when I restore." I'm not going to restore from a perspective of just giving you the same. Y'all didn't give me the same house. He didn't give me the same car. Y'all is in the upgrading business. He's going to always do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. So as verse 26 says, when the restoration takes place, ye eat in plenty and be satisfied. And through that satisfaction, even example as far as today, in dealing with the appraisal district, I was satisfied. And that satisfaction brought me into some other things that can be redeemed. And so I was satisfied, but that satisfaction again caused me to be so impressed with y'all that I praise Him, as verse 26 says. "And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of Yah your God that has dealt wondrously with you." Y'all want to do some wondrous things to take away the shame. What Yah is doing with us in our project, all the time people laughed, they're not going to ever get it open. All the time the copper thieves went in there. All the time all those things was taking place. Sometime when grass got a little high. All these different things. And and we would look at it and be like, okay, man, we have to deal with all this drama that's associated. Yeah, I said, I'm going to fix it where you're never going to be ashamed. When I'm through with this, when I'm sitting down with this, you're going to be eating in plenty, and you're going to be satisfied, and you're going to praise me, and there's going to be no more shame. Everybody's going to be patting you on the back soon. So there's nothing that I have lost that y'all won't restore. Whatever I've lost in time, Yah will restore it in His time. You got to hear that. You got to understand it. Whatever you've lost in time, Yah can restore it in time. I don't care what it is. Name your price. Yah said, watch me restore it. If you operate in the light that I command you to operate in, watch me restore. Okay, I'm finished. Any questions, comments? Not. I'm through. Okay. Father, I will bless you on today, and we thank you for your word again. We look forward to the redemption of our time and you restoring all things to us pertaining to life and godliness. That all the things that has happened to us in the past were, whether it was our fault or whether men meant it for evil, you're restoring. And we thank you for that. And we put our trust in your word and believing that it will come to pass. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.